8:30 a.m., a glass room 2 floors above the street. 3 managers scan a slate of resumes for a role that promises growth and a narrow path to leadership. 2 resumes carry the same degrees, the same jobs in the same order, the same bullet points in plain words. 1 version has a first name that signals a common white identity. The other uses a first name linked to a Black family line that still holds Sunday dinners and church notes. The software ranks the first version higher. The panel nods and moves on. The 2nd version slides down the pile. This is not a courtroom. It is a workday ritual. It shapes paychecks, mortgages, maternity leave, and the voice a person brings into meetings. The question is simple and loaded. Who gets seen and who is filtered out before skill is tested? What would it take to make the gate visible? Chapter 1. The gate at the door. The hiring day starts with a short list and a long filter. At 9 o'clock, the recruiter opens the dashboard and the count reads in the hundreds. A few clicks later, only a handful remain. No one has spoken to a single person yet. The system has already narrowed the field. A junior analyst toggles a switch that hides resume photos and college clubs. Another toggle removes addresses. The team calls this fair screening. It is a good step. It is not the whole story. The text that stays on the page still carries signals. Names. Gaps. A summer spent at a family shop instead of a brand internship. A manager reads those lines and fills the gaps with quick judgments. It happens fast. It feels neutral. It is not always neutral. The panel opens 2 files that look the same. Side by side, education lines match. Job titles match. Project verbs match. The only difference is the name at the top. Last week, the recruiting team had run a quiet test. They sent the same resume out to a set of postings with a name that most readers would mark as white, and then again with a name that most readers would mark as Black. The callback rate shifted. The work did not change. The signal did. A senior manager leans back. She is careful with language. She says the word fit. She asks whether the applicant will align with the client list. Fit sounds safe. It can also mean familiar. It can mean this person reminds me of someone who once did well. It can mean my network knows them. Networks are not evenly distributed. Referrals arrive through those networks. People with deep roots inside the company have many routes to a desk. People on the edge must prove themselves through a single front door that is already crowded. The meeting turns to the job ad. The original posting used open phrases. Then a copy editor added a few lines that sounded high energy. The words shifted toward young and ninja and rockstar. None of those words looks hostile. Yet each one points to a narrow image in the mind of the reader. A capable accountant with 2 children and 1 evening school class may choose not to apply. A candidate who took a year to care for a parent may assume they will be judged as slow. The ad becomes a mirror. It reflects who the team already imagines. At 10 o'clock, the recruiter demonstrates the filter stack. The first layer is keyword match. It searches for exact terms from the posting. If the team asks for 1 software name, applicants who used a close synonym drop in rank. The 2nd layer is years of experience. The slider moves in increments that feel precise. The reality is messier. 1 person's 3 months of intense work can equal another person's 1 year of light duty. The 3rd layer is school and certificate order. This gives a small boost to certain names because the team has had good experiences in the past. Past experience is not a clean proxy for future skill. It is a proxy for access to the past. A hiring manager offers a small fix. Switch unstructured interviews to structured ones. Write a standard set of questions and use the same scoring guide for each answer. Do not let the conversation drift to shared hobbies. Do not let 1 strong answer at the start color the rest of the hour. This is not about removing humanity. It is about making the test the same for each person. The manager shows a simple scorecard. Criteria sit in clear rows. Definitions fit in 1 line each. The panel agrees to try it. The analyst asks who will guard the process when calendars are tight. Silence holds for a moment. Process fails when time runs out. Time often runs out for fairness. At 11:15, a candidate arrives for a first-round interview. She signs in at the front desk and reviews her notes. She knows her numbers. She can describe her projects in clear steps. She is the first college graduate in her family. The interviewer smiles and opens with a soft icebreaker. Where did you grow up? The answer triggers a long aside about neighborhoods and old sports teams. 10 minutes pass. the hard questions squeeze into the end of the slot. The scorecard is only half filled. Later, the panel will say they did not get to see enough depth. The process error will live in the candidate's file as a mark against her. At noon, the team reads cover letters. Most are brief. Some are careful and long. A few candidates speak to care work they have managed on top of jobs. The letters that signal caregiving often get sorted into a slow pile. Not rejected. Not moved forward. The logic is never stated. The fear is that the role will need late nights. The fear is that schedule limits will strain the team. No one writes those lines. The effect is there. The pile shrinks. The afternoon shifts to calibration. The recruiter pulls up the interview pipeline. Stage 1. Stage 2. On-site. Offer. At each stage, a fraction of the field moves on. The recruiter points to a pattern. Candidates from internal referrals move faster. They get more specific feedback. They get a second look if a round goes sideways. External candidates do not get the same grace. The team tells itself that referrals are safer. The team trusts the judgment of employees they already trust. This may be true for speed. It is not always true for fairness. A short sidebar focuses on software screening. The engineer explains that the model learns from past hiring decisions. If the past favored a narrow set of profiles, the model learns that pattern and calls it signal. It then ranks similar profiles higher. The engineer repeats a simple line. Models remember history. If history is skewed, the model will be skewed. The fix requires new targets, human review, and a willingness to accept that some past wins came from chance, sponsorship, or access rather than raw skill. At 2 o'clock, a hiring manager walks the group through a case from last quarter. Two finalists presented. One had a quiet style and precise answers. One had a rapid style and broad claims. The room leaned toward the rapid style. After 6 months, the quiet hire in a similar team produced clearer results. The manager says they now run a simple test. They ask for a short work sample with constraints. Clear objective. Limited time. Known data. They grade output against the same rubric. This does not replace interviews. It adds a direct read on the work. The conversation returns to language. A line in the posting reads strong communicator with executive presence. The team tries to define this. They land on 3 things. Can the person explain their work in clear steps? Do they ask clarifying questions? Do they hold steady when a senior person interrupts? The team deletes vague phrases from the posting. The posting now lists the 3 concrete behaviors. Applicants can screen themselves in or out with better information. Reviewers can score what they see. At 3:15, the panel reviews rejection reasons. They find a pattern of soft phrases. Not a fit at this time. Concerns about team chemistry. Lacked polish. Those lines give no path for growth. They give no path for appeal. The recruiter proposes a rule. Every rejection must tie to a posted criterion. Every note must be specific and brief. The group agrees. They set a weekly audit. They pick 1 person to check 5 random files for clarity and fairness. The commitment is small and steady. Habits change by small and steady moves. They shift to candidate questions. 1 common question asks about flexibility and remote days. The team had avoided clear answers. They feared that clarity would reduce the pool. The effect had been the opposite. Vague answers pushed out candidates who needed to plan care or transit. The team writes a clear policy line for the posting. It states office days, expected hours when meetings happen, and the process for requesting a shift. The clarity draws in people who had assumed the team would not accommodate. Near 4 o'clock, a new voice joins by video. She manages campus hiring. She describes a case from a regional college where first-generation students had strong project work, but weaker interview polish. The team tested a prep session that explained structured interviews, gave 2 practice questions, and shared the scoring guide. They delivered it to all candidates at once to avoid favoritism. The change did not lower the bar. It raised the odds that skill would show. Offers rose for students who had been overlooked before. Performance after hire tracked as strong. The learning is that equal information at the start improves the read. Back in the room, the analyst shares a plain language data snapshot. Across last year, the company filled many roles. The pool at the top was broad. The pool at the final stage was much narrower and less reflective of the early mix. The analyst does not argue about exact percentages. The point is direction. The direction shows the gate is getting tighter in a way that does not map to skill alone. The analyst proposes a checkpoint. Before each final round, someone must check whether at least two finalists offer different profiles on school, network, or background while meeting the same posted bar. If not, the team rewinds one stage and checks for missed candidates. The day closes with a real interview. The panel stays on the script. They ask the same five questions. They give the same time for each answer. They do not comment midstream. They take notes in short lines. After the call, they score each answer against a rubric. They share scores before they discuss. This step matters. It reduces the pull of the first voice in the room. A quiet panelist who observed careful detail gets to place a number on the record before stronger personalities can frame the talk. The scores are close. The team has a fair debate. They call back two candidates for a work sample. Outside the building, the first candidate from the morning steps into late sun. She does not know about the calibration meeting, the rubric change, or the audit rule. She only knows that she answered the questions and left with a small knot in her chest. She texts a friend that the interview felt rushed and that she did not get to the project that best shows her skill. She plans to send a brief note with a link to a portfolio. She does not know whether notes will be read. The recruiter enters final notes. She writes in clear words. She lists which criteria were met and which were not shown. She sets a reminder to audit the pipeline on Friday morning. The analyst schedules a training on structured interview drift. The engineer files a ticket to adjust the model to reduce overweighting of school names. None of these moves is dramatic. Each applies friction against bias that once slid through untested. Late afternoon, a copy of the job ad sits open. The team decides to add salary range. They decide to list the decision timeline. They decide to publish the interview steps and the exact number of rounds. These changes do not fix deeper issues. They do reduce the sense that hiring is a maze with hidden doors. People make better choices when the map is clear. Before the team breaks, the senior manager sets one more rule. A candidate who requests an accommodation during the hiring process will receive a same-day response and a specific point of contact. This covers extra time for a test, an alternative format, or a different chair in the on-site room. The manager reminds the group that the law is a floor, not a ceiling. The goal is not to do the minimum. The goal is to see skill. The last minutes turn reflective. Hiring is not just a vote on one person. It is a forecast for a team's future. Every skip step today becomes a pattern next quarter. Every precise step today becomes a habit that protects people who have not yet walked through the door. The team agrees to keep three anchors. Write criteria first. Ask the same questions. Score before talk. Small, repeatable anchors support fairness when time and pressure fold the day. The office empties. The dashboard still shows names behind the screen. Each name carries a story. Some stories include caregiving gaps, night classes, or neighborhood shifts. Some include referrals and brand names. The process can be tuned to read the work and not the signal. The process can also drift and read the signal while calling it merit. The question that carries into the next phase is simple to say and hard to live. Once a person is inside, do the rules stay stable when power and promotion are at stake? The answer decides who gets a ladder and who is asked to hold it for someone else. Chapter 2, The Ceiling Inside. 9 a.m., Tuesday, a glass wall conference room looks over an open floor with quiet rows of desks. The senior leadership team begins promotion calibration. The goal is to compare people across groups with a shared bar. The practice is sound in outline. In practice, small words tilt the table. Folders open in a neat grid. Each folder carries a name, a current title, a target title, and three short narratives. The first narrative lists outcomes. The second lists behaviors. The third gives a manager's recommendation. A human resources partner reads the instructions. Each recommendation must tie to posted criteria. Every claim should cite a project, a date, and a result that can be checked. The room nods. Laptops click. A manager begins with a high performer. The manager says she delivers. She owns the room. She feels like a leader already. The human resources partner asks for signals tied to the rubric. The manager offers one. She led a launch on April 10th with two outages averted through good planning. She mentored two new hires through their first quarter. The room adjusts. The language begins to shift from vibe to proof. The next file belongs to a quiet contributor. He has raised a difficult product question in private design notes for months. His points were correct and specific. He was right about a risk that did not show up in public demos. The manager writes that he is steady and reliable. The manager does not use the word leader. A director asks what leadership looks like in his role. He does not need to stand at a podium. He needs to set direction within a small circle and help others see the next step. The director asks if he has done this. The answer is yes. Two projects adopted his pattern. The file is updated with those two project names and a clear description. Without that prompt, the file would have stayed in a lower bin. A head of sales offers a phrase that appears often. High potential. The human resources partner asks how potential is measured. The answer drifts to presence and poise. The room pauses. Presence can be learned. Poise often reflects comfort inside the dominant culture of the room. The partner asks for two evidence points that predict future scope. The manager lists an example where the employee built a cross-team forecast that removed weeks of churn. The manager adds a case where the employee calmed an account during a missed shipment. Those two lines become the definition of potential for this cycle. The team writes it into the rubric. Future files must meet that same test. At 10:30, the topic turns to stretch assignments. A pattern appears. The most visible projects circulate among a small set of names. The reason given is speed and trust. It is faster to hand a critical task to someone who has already done one. This choice keeps the same few people in the spotlight. Others run steady operations that the business needs, but that do not sparkle. The result is an uneven portfolio of proof. When promotion season arrives, the spotlight set has a thick stack of wins. The unseen set has thin proof, even when the work behind the scenes is skilled and hard. A director proposes a rotation. Two visible projects per quarter will include a co-lead from outside the usual circle. The co-lead will have clear authority and a named sponsor. The sponsor will meet twice a month to remove barriers. The room debates risk. The head of operations asks how to protect the delivery date. The answer is to scope the rotation to projects with buffer and to add a weekly checkpoint. This is not charity. It is a way to broaden the base of people who can show leadership. The room agrees. The head of operations owns the schedule. Near 11, the panel reviews performance notes that include invisible labor. Office housework eats time. It includes note-taking, birthday planning, and the gentle work of social glue. It includes onboarding help that is not counted. The panel sees that these tasks fall more often to women and to people who feel pressure to prove they are team players. The tasks matter. They should be valued. They should not crowd out strategic work that the rubric rewards. The fix is simple. Each team will log this labor and rotate it. The load will be visible. People who take on extra will receive credit. Leadership will state which tasks count toward promotion and which are recognized as service, but not as core proof. The group turns to language inside reviews. Two files sit side by side. In the first file, a man who presents with confidence is described as bold and decisive. In the second, a woman who presents with equal confidence is described as aggressive. The use of these words changes how the room feels about risk and readiness. The human resources partner asks for a clean rewrite. Swap opinion words for behavior words. Replace aggressive with interrupts others or takes the first move without a plan. If the behavior is helpful, note the outcome. If it is not, note the cost. The team does a short training on word swaps. They agree to run a weekly red flag scan for loaded language. At lunch, a cross-functional group meets in a smaller room to talk about sponsorship. Mentorship gives advice. Sponsorship gives air cover and chances. A mid-level manager says she has never been asked to present to senior leaders, even though she owns significant parts of the roadmap. The group sets a rule for the next quarter. When a team presents its work, the person doing the work speaks for the work. A senior sponsor will open and close. The voice in the middle is the owner. The expectation is written. It is not a favor. It is a practice. 1 p.m., a calibration wrinkle appears. A file shows strong outcomes for a new mother who returned 3 months ago. Her manager writes that her focus is split and that travel may be an issue. The human resources partner asks for evidence tied to the rubric. The manager lists travel dates for the next two quarters and the number of in-person client meetings. The manager reads an old mental model into the file. The model assumes that certain life events reduce the ability to lead. the director asks a narrow question. Has she missed a deadline? Has client satisfaction fallen? The answer is no. The room removes the subjective lines and replaces them with observable facts. The file moves up. Later, a different kind of case arrives. A candidate missed two late evening calls because of childcare. The calls were scheduled inside a window that is not standard. The manager marked this as a lack of commitment. The group checks the meeting policy. Core hours are posted as 10 to 4. Work outside that window should be scheduled with advance notice and consent. The calls did not meet that rule. The group adjusts the note. They add a reminder to schedule important reviews inside core hours or to plan ahead when night timing is required. The change protects fairness and keeps expectations clear. 2 p.m., the panel examines a familiar debate. Who is ready now and who is ready in a year? The ready in a year group often includes people who have not been given a chance to show the last mile skills. The room sets a plan. For each candidate in the near ready bucket, assign a defined scope that matches the missing proof. If the missing proof is budget ownership, assign a small budget with check-ins. If the missing proof is cross-team influence, assign a cross-team decision with a deadline and a template for consent. The plan and the check-ins go on record. The next cycle will look at completion, not at impressions. The panel opens the pay bands and notices a second pattern. Promotions move some people to the minimum of a band. Others land at the middle. The difference often maps to past negotiation and not to current scope. The room decides to set starting position based on a points grid tied to scope, not on last salary. The legal team advises that the company avoid asking for salary history. That question tends to carry past inequities forward. The decision is recorded. Future offers will reference the grid. 3 o'clock brings a case that tests the system. A talented individual contributor is applying for a manager role. His outcomes are strong and clear. His peer feedback is mixed. The points of concern are about holding others to a bar and about giving hard notes without delay. The room could take a risk based on outcomes alone. They could pass and ask for more time. A director proposes a middle path. Try a trial window of people leadership with 2 direct reports. Set expectations in writing. Give a sponsor. Give a feedback calendar. At the end of the window, hold a 3-way review. If the match is good, confirm the role. If not, return to the contributor path with respect and a clear narrative. This plan reduces bias that can color ambiguous cases. It also maintains standards. Mid-afternoon, an employee resource group sends a short memo to leadership. The memo describes patterns in promotion timing across teams. The lines are careful. The goal is accountability, not blame. The memo asks for transparent promotion calendars, public criteria, and a simple appeal step. The leadership team responds in the meeting. They will post the calendar for the year with deadlines for managers to submit cases. They will post the rubric. They will publish a form for a short appeal that asks for specific missing evidence. The appeal will be reviewed by a panel that does not include the manager in question. The commitment is recorded. At 3:45, a manager brings up interviews for internal moves. Internal interviews can be fast and loose. They can rely on hallway impressions. The team agrees to use the same structure used for external candidates. Same questions. Same scoring. Same work sample where it fits. The goal is not to add friction. The goal is to reduce the weight of rumor and to make the story of readiness legible. For PM, a senior leader asks about training. The company offers general workshops. Many employees skip them because the sessions feel abstract. The leader proposes a set of short, live drills. Calibrate performance notes by rewriting them together. Practice the work sample rubric on a past project. Role play 1 hard feedback conversation using a simple model. The sessions will run monthly. Attendance will be expected for anyone involved in hiring or promotion. The leader states a principle. If the company expects fairness, it must train for it like it trains for safety. Across the hall, an operations lead opens a dashboard that shows promotion rates by team and time and seat by role. The dashboard has clear guardrails. No small groups are singled out in a way that could reveal personal information. The view is high level and focused on patterns. The lead looks for outliers. One team promotes faster than others without a strong difference in scope. Another team runs slow. The head of operations schedules brief reviews with each leader. The goal is to understand the reason and to create a plan where needed. A quiet line appears in several files. This person needs polish. The panel asks what polish means. If it means clear writing, then teach clear writing and test it. If it means calm speech under stress, then practice with that person in a safe setting. If it means wardrobe, the room rejects it. The company will not make promotions hinge on coded style cues. It will set clear communication expectations and support people to meet them. Near 5, the topic of pregnancy returns with a focus on promotion timing. A mid-manager has met the bar. The manager suggests deferring the promotion until after leave. The room checks the policy. A promotion can be granted before, during, or after leave if the person meets the bar. The policy also allows the raise to start on the effective date and the title to take effect on return to full duties. The reason is simple. The work that proves readiness happened before the leave. The leave does not erase the proof. The panel approves the promotion and schedules a handoff plan that respects health and continuity. A different case shows a gap in how accommodation requests are handled. An employee in a warehouse role requested light duty with a doctor's note. The manager denied it informally and suggested unpaid leave. The policy states that light duty must be considered in good faith. The company has tasks that fit. The panel records the failure and assigns retraining for the manager. The employee will receive back pay for lost hours and a revised assignment. The lesson is direct. Policies must be lived, not just written. 5:30. The day closes with a review of the appeal queue from last cycle. A few appeals argue with tone rather than evidence. Those are denied with respect and a pointer to what proof is missing. 2 appeals surface missed work that did meet the bar but was not captured. In both cases, visibility was the problem. The fix is to require managers to list all major projects on a standard form with links to artifacts. The person can append artifacts if the manager misses one. The panel decides to share a short guide on how to build a case file all year, not just at cycle time. The guide encourages people to log outcomes by date and impact. It also encourages managers to give credit lines in public forums where performance is tracked. The senior leader ends with a simple scoreboard for the next quarter. 3 numbers. Percent of promotions tied to work samples or artifacts. Attendance in calibration drills. On-time completion of audit checks on language and reasons. The numbers do not tell the whole story. They do keep the pressure to do the work. The room empties. On the floor below, people pack their bags. Some will go home to care for family. Some will go to a class. Some will stay late to close a quarter. The system they live in can tilt against them in quiet ways. It can also be tuned to hold a level line. A final check-in with the recruiting team ties the loops. Hiring changes were set in motion in the morning. Promotion practices move this afternoon. The two systems will now speak. Structured interviews feed clear notes into the first review cycle. Work samples become artifacts in the case file. Clear criteria guide both entry and growth. The path from door to ladder is still hard. It is now more visible. The last act of the day is a memo to all managers. It is short. It says the company expects evidence-based hiring and promotion. It says the company will favor clarity over vibe. It says pregnancy, caregiving, and medical needs are not career penalties. It says the company will publish the calendar, the rubric, and the appeal channel. It says leaders will be held to this. The ceiling does not crack with one speech. It moves with repeated pressure and small exact steps. The true test arrives in the next cycle when deadlines loom and shortcuts tempt. The open question sits at the center of the file room. When time gets tight, will the team keep the bar visible and apply it the same way to every person? Chapter 3, The Price of Pregnancy. 7:45 a.m., a production floor hums as lights snap on. A supervisor posts the shift plan on a cork board. The chart shows stations and expected output by hour. A worker in her second trimester reads the plan and asks for the light duty assignment noted in her file. She has a note from a clinician. The note is clear. Avoid extended lifting above 20 pounds. Avoid exposure to certain solvents. The supervisor says the line is tight today. He tells her to handle normal duty and to let him know if it gets hard. She nods. The clock starts. The risk starts with it. At 9:20, she feels a pull across her lower back when a pallet arrives with a mislabeled weight. She flags a teammate. The teammate helps and whispers that there is a light station open near shipping. The supervisor walks past and says the shipping lead is out. He does not move her. The worker makes a quiet decision. she slows her pace to protect her health. That choice will show up later as a dip on a chart with no context. A number without context begins to shape a career. Across town, a professional services office runs a different test. A project manager is planning a client trip. She is 7 months along and managing fatigue in late afternoons. She asks to switch one leg of travel to a morning flight that lands before noon. Her request costs $30 more. The back and forth takes 3 days. The client meeting is set without her. A colleague who is less familiar with the account takes the lead. The colleague does well. He is praised for stepping up. The project manager is marked down for not being in the room. The system can make absence look like a lack of drive when it was a request for a small, reasonable adjustment that would have preserved health and results. The patterns appear in many places. A retail team schedules the closing shift until 11:30 p.m. for a set of cashiers without checking for transit and care needs. An education nonprofit books evening events on short notice and expects attendance without error. A desk job moves the weekly stand-up into the early evening and frames it as a culture ritual. None of these choices targets a pregnant worker by name. Each decision adds friction for anyone managing health and care. Each decision becomes a quiet test of loyalty that does not measure skill. Mid-morning, a human resources partner meets with the warehouse manager from the first scene. She has read the file. The file shows a formal request for light duty with a supporting note. The company has a policy that states that such requests will be considered in good faith with dialogue. The manager did not open the dialogue. The partner explains the steps. Engage the worker to understand the limits. Map the job tasks. Offer adjustments that keep core duties within safe bounds. Document the conversation with dates and the specific change. Set a review date. This is not legal advice. It is the company's own policy and a clear, humane way to manage health and work. The partner assigns training and adjusts the schedule for the next 2 weeks. The worker moves to the light station. The case will be monitored. In a different building, a recruiting coordinator screens questions for an on-site loop. One interviewer suggests asking a candidate whether she plans to start a family soon. The coordinator stops the thread. Questions that seek plans about pregnancy or family life are not permitted. They are not relevant to the posted criteria. They create risk and chill. The coordinator sends the structured question set again. The set covers job scenarios, problem-solving steps, and communication checks. The loop is reminded that all candidates receive the same questions and scoring. Noon brings a meeting between a finance lead and a manager about budgets and leave. The manager wants to delay a promotion because the candidate plans to be out for 8 to 12 weeks. The finance lead opens the rubrics and the dates. The candidate met the bar in April. The promotion cycle opened in May. The leave begins in July. The work that proves readiness happened before the leave. The company can grant the promotion on schedule. The raise can start on the effective date. The title can become official on return to full duties. The team will set a handoff plan. This plan honors the proof and protects the business. The manager agrees. A letter is drafted with clear timing and a calm tone. Early afternoon, a field office handles a different kind of request. A worker who lifts and loads asks for more frequent breaks to drink water and to sit for 5 minutes each hour. The supervisor wonders if this will break the line flow. The operations lead draws a simple rotation. Another person covers the station for those 5 minutes. The total impact is small. The health impact is significant. The supervisor posts the rotation and writes the reason in clear words. The language matters because it sets a norm. When norms are clear, workers do not fear that basic needs will be treated as favors. In the city center, a lawyer who advises multiple companies gives a short workshop about documentation for employees and managers. She says to both sides that clear records help good outcomes. An employee who makes a request should write the date, the time, the person they asked, the need, and the reason. They should keep answers and any notes about changes to schedule, duty, or travel. A manager who receives a request should write the same and summarize the agreed plan. The lawyer repeats that local law controls the exact process and that the company policy must align with local law. She does not offer a legal conclusion. She shows how to keep a clean record so that facts are easy to find. Mid-afternoon, a team runs a tabletop scenario. The prompt is simple. A client pushes for an off-site meeting in a location that requires a long drive and a steep climb from the parking lot. A pregnant account lead asks for a ground floor room and a midday time. The client waffles. The team practices responses. The first response is brief. We will meet at noon. We will use the ground floor conference room near the west entrance. This time and place works for our team and for yours. We look forward to it. The second response is a backup. If the client cannot accept, the team proposes a video meeting for the lead with a second in person for support. The purpose of the drill is not to shield the company from all client friction. It is to teach managers to make health and access a normal part of planning. When managers treat the change as routine, clients often adapt. The investigative line returns to evidence. A data analyst reviews exit interviews and scheduling records from three locations. She looks for patterns that correlate with pregnancy or new parent requests. She finds two sites where requests for light duty were denied at much higher rates than average. She finds one site where denials are rare. She interviews managers in the rare denial site. They describe a simple habit. They keep a list of tasks that can be swapped in at short notice. Labeling, inventory checks, quality audits, training shifts, and documentation updates. Because the list exists before need, managers are not forced to improvise under time pressure. The analyst writes a short note. Plan for light duty before you need it. Treat it like a tool, not like an exception. Late afternoon, a bystander moment occurs in a hallway. Two colleagues discuss a pregnant teammate and a deadline. One suggests splitting the big milestone into two smaller ones and adding an extra reviewer to reduce single-point risk. The other jokes that she signed up for the job and should push through. A third colleague hears this. He steps in with a line they practiced in training. We keep the bar and we keep people healthy. The plan is to split the milestone and add a reviewer. That protects delivery and health. Let us stick to the plan. The tone is calm. The content is firm. Scripts like this change the air in a room. Over time, they change outcomes. At 4:30, a union steward meets with a group of workers from a service contractor. They describe schedule changes that shift night work onto people who have asked for accommodations. The steward reviews the contract and the posted policy. He advises the group on the internal grievance steps. He also explains that public agencies exist to review patterns of discrimination. The steward does not promise a result. He outlines the trail. Document requests. Use internal channels with dates. If internal channels fail, use external channels with the same clean record. The group leaves with a plan. The story returns to the first warehouse. The human resources partner checks in at the light station. The worker is assembling small kits and scanning barcodes. She has a stool, water, and a clear target that matches her current pace. She smiles. Her supervisor stops by and reviews the plan for next week. A doctor appointment is on Tuesday morning. The supervisor has already shifted a two-hour block to training work that can be done seated. The tone is normal. The plan is normal. That is the goal. Evening settles over the city. Many workers head home. A few log in again after dinner. A pregnant engineer sends a note to her manager. She is on track for the sprint, but needs a firm stop at 8 p.m. to manage sleep. The manager replies with a clear line. Health comes first. Keep the stop. If a crisis hits, we will pull help from the on-call list. The engineer relaxes and closes the laptop at 8 p.m. She will be sharp at 9 a.m. tomorrow. The resolution of a system story is less a single scene and more a set of practices that hold under pressure. Hiring practices that focus on criteria and structure. Promotion practices that reward artifacts and not rumor. Pregnancy practices that turn accommodation into routine planning. Each practice needs an owner, a date, and a way to check if the promise shows up in reality. An accountability lens helps close the loop. Leaders can publish a short quarterly note with 3 points. First, a summary of changes made to postings, interviews, and promotion rubrics. Second, a summary of accommodation requests by category with privacy protected. Third, one lesson learned and one next step with a date. This note is not a press release. It is a signal to employees that the company sees the patterns and is willing to show its work. For individuals, the action plan is simple and specific. Keep a journal with dates, times, names, and brief notes about requests and responses. Save copies of emails and schedules. When you make a request, write what you need, why you need it, and how it allows you to meet your duties. Offer options when you can. Follow up in writing after conversations. use internal channels first. If those channels fail or stall, seek advice about external options from a trusted source. Local law controls the exact path. You are protecting your health and your record. Both matter. For peers and managers, a few scripts go a long way. When someone asks an off-limits question about family plans in an interview, say that the question is not part of the structured set and move back to job topics. When a team debates delaying a promotion because of an upcoming leave, say that the bar is based on completed work and that leave does not erase proof. When a client resists a small schedule change that protects health, say the plan in a firm and neutral tone and repeat the outcome you will deliver. Calm, clear lines keep standards high and people safe. For organizations, a checklist helps leaders stay honest. Are job postings specific and free of coded words? Are interviews structured with scorecards and work samples? Are promotion rubrics public with examples of proof? Are calendars and criteria posted? Are accommodation requests tracked with dates, outcomes, and reasons? Is training frequent and short? Are dashboards used to find patterns without exposing private detail? Are consequences real when policy is ignored? Each yes reduces slippage. Each no points to the next job to do. The last scene returns to the glass room from the first chapter. A new hiring cycle begins. The panel looks different. Two managers from outside the usual circle sit at the table. The scorecards are ready. The work sample is drafted. The posting lists the schedule and the salary range. A note on the wall reminds the team to answer accommodation requests the same day. The analyst opens a small audit sheet. 5 files will be checked each Friday for clear reasons tied to criteria. The engineer has tuned the screening model. The human resources partner has a red flag word list open and ready. None of this guarantees a perfect outcome. People make mistakes. Pressure bends rules. But a system that names the risk and sets simple anchors is harder to twist. It is also easier to fix when it drifts. The worker at the light station finishes her shift and clocks out with steady steps. The project manager closes her laptop after sending a trip plan that meets client needs and protects her health. The engineer sketches a design for next quarter and writes a note to herself to document outcomes each Friday so that proof is ready when the time comes. These are small, ordinary acts. Ordinary acts, repeated change patterns. The verified takeaway is clear. Fairness in hiring and promotion rests on criteria, structure, and artifacts. Fairness in pregnancy rests on routine accommodation and respect. The open question remains. When deadlines collide with care, will leaders keep the bar the same for everyone and treat health as part of the work rather than a private burden? The answer will show in the calendar, the notes, and the choices made when no one is watching.